First Sergeant Conrad Gamez is stationed at Zabul province in southeastern Afghanistan as part of a provincial reconstruction team. He lives in Cocoa Beach. Sergeant Gamez, welcome to Intersection.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Sergeant, tell us, if you would, a little bit about why you're rebuilding in Zabul province. Is this an area that's been heavily damaged by fighting?
Well, Zabul province in the early stages of the war, I guess, was kind of overlooked. Recently, we've concentrated a lot of effort in that region there with the provincial reconstruction team. And what we found is there was a huge need for a lot of governance in the region. So with the Governor Nashari, who we are actually co-located with on a compound in the capital city of Zabul, which is called Kalat, with his panel and with ours, what we do is we assist the governor and every day in whatever decisions that he has to make as far as governance in the province. Everything that you can think of, from sewage treatment, clean water programs, garbage, schools, clinics, even a lot of vocational schools that we are starting up to kind of boost the economy for some of the kids in the communities.
So it sounds like you're starting programs in addition to working on buildings and the kind of vital infrastructure that we take for granted over here in the U.S.
Absolutely. We do take a lot of that for granted. And my province, the governance in the past was probably pretty scarce. And right now, we're the programs that we got going on is pretty phenomenal. To see some of the kids now get an opportunity to get an education. We got teachers getting in there, and as well as the Afghan National Police that are trained by military personnel as well. And the security that they're providing throughout the province is really good for the people. And it's given them really the confidence that the government, a stable government there, can really protect them.
Help me paint a picture kind of in my mind of what does it actually look like there? What kind of community should our listeners be envisioning in their minds as they hear you talk about these different projects?
Well, I will tell you, the traditional structures in Afghanistan is what we might refer to as mud huts. The houses and the gates are a lot of the walls in the communities, a lot of the buildings, what we would call a mall, it referred to here as a bazaar, and that's where most of the selling and trading takes part in the community and is really the main function of the town, just like Main Street, I guess, in some of our old towns. And you see a lot of the mud structures, the mud huts all the way around there, and you see a lot of sheep herders pushing through the community, things of that nature, things that we would probably think are very primitive to us. It's just a way of life here, and it's not that it's a bad one. It's just a lot different from the way we live ours.
And how big is the community there in Zabul province?
Well, in the capital itself, throughout, there's sporadic villages around there that also are considered Zabul province. Actually, there's been no statistics what is that called when we go door-to-door to?
Census, I think.
Census, yeah, consensus. Yeah, census. There really hasn't been no census. We're starting one now to try to get a little grasp on what the population actually is, but we estimate anywhere from 20 to 30,000 people in the capital of Kalat that live around the community.
Now, you mentioned that you've been working to help teach members of the local population skills like nursing or how to be a mechanic. What kind of response are you getting from the community?
Oh, we get a great response from the community. I just mentioned nursing and mechanics, but we also do a welding class, and we do a journalist class for them, actually. The response has been overwhelming from the students. And the problem is actually keeping them, as you develop skilled workers, sometimes there's not a lot of jobs for those workers to take advantage of. So sometimes we end up losing them to the bigger cities. So right now we're trying to go from the bottom up, and we're trying to, I think the car, the mechanics are the ones that take the most, are the ones that reap the most benefits from their skills, because mechanic shops are plentiful, and I think throughout Afghanistan.
So you're actually teaching some journalism classes over there. Are you getting a new crop of budding reporters then?
Absolutely. I think I just went to one of the graduation ceremonies about a couple of weeks ago, and as I was walking out, I was getting interviewed by a couple of the graduates. They were asking me some questions, and they learned it in English too, and they were putting microphones in my face, and then I started to call them paparazzis. And no, they're really doing good, and they're really trying to put the story out there for their own people, and that was the intent. Train them how to do professional journalism, and then they can start telling their story.
Now, in order to have these kind of programs be successful, you have to build ties with local leaders and what local government is there. How'd you go about that process, and was it hard to build up that trust?
Well, my commander, before we came out here, he came out here about a month prior, so he got to meet the governor. Establishing the relationship was not hard. But that is very important in the culture of dealing with the Afghan people. They're very, very prevalent about the relationship. That's where the basis of the trust is all built. And if you don't have a relationship with the folks that you're dealing with, they're not going to allow you even to assist them. So just by working hard and just showing them that we're really here because we care about what their future is, and spending a lot of time with them. That has built our trust with our local governance personnel, and our relationship is very tight and sound right now, and it's allowing us to make a lot of progress in the community.
And not everyone has to be glad to see the U.S. Army in Zabul province. How do you react to anti-coalition sentiments in the community?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're going to get, surprisingly, from my experience, majority of the population has been overwhelmingly supportive of any kind of assistance that you give the community. And in some instances, we do get the anti-American sentiment from some folks. But for the most part, we just don't react react in a hostile fashion at all. We just allow them to say what they're saying, and as long as they're not given any potential danger to any of the troops, then we allow them to say what they want to say.
And just last month, the elections were held in Afghanistan. Were you at all involved in that process?
Sure. What we did is, for the most part, the Afghan National Police, they provided the security for most of the voter locations, or the voting locations that we had in the province. So they actually really says, we'll call you if we need you, but we'll take it from here. So that was actually a very positive outcome for us, and very little, we had very little, if any at all, I can't recall it at this time, but we had a very very peaceful voter turnout without any, that was, I'm pretty sure in some regions of the province, there was probably some minimal attacks or maybe some hostile fire, But it was very minimal, considering, and it was just a positive outcome for the whole election process.
Now, we've heard news reports recently about escalating violence in Afghanistan. What do you see on the ground on a daily basis? Does the situation seem secure to you?
Well, security is always going to be the one of the biggest issues in Afghanistan. Absolutely. I can't say that it's 100% secure. We are still dealing with ID attacks and periodic attacks from the Taliban, and I'm sure you read it throughout the news as American troops are, according to some of what I've read and some of what I've heard across the whole country, that the attacks are increasing. In my region, we haven't seen that outcome so far. We haven't seen a huge increase. An increase nonetheless, but not a huge one that alerts us to take any kind of extreme measures for protection.
We're speaking with First Sergeant Conrad Gamez from Cocoa Beach, Florida. He is currently stationed in Zabul Province, Afghanistan. It's in the southeastern portion of the country. Tell me a little bit about your previous service. You served in Iraq as well. Were you doing the same type of work in Iraq as you are in Afghanistan?
No, I am a M1A1 tanker, so my mission in Iraq was totally different from what I'm doing here. There in Iraq, I was securing main supply routes. They come in and out. We were actually actively out seeking out insurgents in the communities by doing searches through the community. So that part of the job of being involved in a lot of IED strikes as well as a lot of ambushes, totally different from what I'm doing now. I'm almost on the opposite side of that.
Well, given that you've had such a broad range of experiences, are you able to say which one plays maybe a bigger role in this effort to rebuild both countries?
Well, both of them are vital. When you talk about providing, you can't do anything unless you have security to do it in. And unless you secure the region from attacks and IEDs, you lose your flexibility to reach out to any community within the province. So it's both vital. One builds on the other, and I can't say that one is more important than the other. I will tell you that it is very gratifying on this part to actually see children benefit and governance grow in the community, and what you're doing is giving hope to both of these countries. I've seen it in Iraq too. I did see, as we secured the roads and we secured the communities, how the folks that were conducting those missions to rebuild the country were making a great leeway and our headway, and they were doing that because of the security that we provided for them, or we established for them. And the same thing is here in Afghanistan. We got those folks out there securing that sectors for us and allowing us to do make progress here in stabilizing this country.
Do you feel safer in Afghanistan compared to Iraq, or vice versa?
Well, it depends. Yeah, absolutely. I tell you, it depends on the mission. When I was out there as a tanker, well, I was in Humvees most of the time. Doing that mission, securing MSRs and doing Quran searches, there's more of a vulnerability, more of a potential for danger in those missions. And this one here, you kind of take out a lot of that scenario. I enjoy them both because I understand the intent of both the missions. But honestly, I tell you, yeah, this one here does feel a little bit safer.
Our guest this evening on Intersection is First Sergeant Conrad Gamez. He is stationed in Zabul Province in southeastern Afghanistan. He's a native of Cocoa Beach. Let me ask you, Sergeant, what do you miss the most about home right now?
Well, the most thing I miss is my family, my wife and kids. Wife Laura, and I got my son Alejandro Marisa. But I do miss the beach, being able to be by the water and enjoy the benefits of that. So I don't get to see too much water around here.
Are there any similarities you see between home in Cocoa Beach and where you are in Zabul, Afghanistan?
Well, absolutely. There's tons of similarities. I think the, as far as the people are concerned, I think the most similarity I see is the family structure. They're pretty tight-knitted family structure. And I think if you get to know the Cocoa Beach community, it's a small community and the family structure there is pretty tight. So I do see the similarities in that.
And what has surprised you the most about Afghanistan as you've had your time there?
My most surprising part about this mission has been the reception of the people to embrace the assistance that we're providing with the government, and they actually they're constantly inviting you in to eat some of their food, and I find it hard to turn that down. So I eat a lot of Afghan local food on the communities.
What's on the menu?
They eat a lot of rice. They got this kind of meatball type in the sauce and chicken. They actually make a salad, but it's similar to what we call pico de gallo. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Sure.
So they make a lot of that, and being Hispanic and loving some pico de gallo, you know, I really eat a lot of that stuff. So. I find it hard to turn it down.
You're expecting to return to Central Florida in March. What are you going to do when you get back?
I don't know. I'll probably leave that up to the kids. I know the first thing we're going to do is they're going to take me to the beach and probably make me spend some time there and probably make them take them out in the backyard and on the Banana River there and do some of that. Waterboard in there.
First Sergeant Conrad Gamez is stationed with a U.S. Army Provincial Reconstruction Team in Zabul Province in southeastern Afghanistan. He calls Cocoa Beach home. Sergeant Gamez, thanks very much for your time and a safe return home to you.
Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate all the support and thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, stick with me for just a sec if you would.
Okay.
I'm just going to redo my intro to you just because I think my audio levels were a little skewed when I first started. So I'm just going to welcome you back to the show real quick.
Okay, no, that's fine. Okay. I'm with it.
Okay, great. Sergeant Gamez, welcome to Intersection.
Thank you, and thank you for having me.
Great. And I just wanted to ask you also, was there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't cover?
I think you covered it all. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, hopefully,
unless you want me to talk about my team a little bit.
Oh, yeah, sure. If you'd like to. Yeah, tell us. This is a team of guys that you're leading out there.
Yes. So I'll tell you a little bit about that.
How should I describe it? Is that a platoon, right? Or is it a? Do I just call it a team? What do I call it?
It's called a team because it's kind of a conglomeration of all kind of assets pushed together in one.
Okay, let me just ask you a question, and we'll get into it. Okay.
Okay.
So, Sergeant Gamez, tell me a little bit about the team of men that you're leading there over in Afghanistan.
The team that I'm leading here in Afghanistan is a It's actually Air Force. It's Joint Services. It's Army, Air Force, and National Guard, Reserve, IRRs, and it's 50% of my team is a security force element made up of scouts from the Army, and I have a eight-man team that's civil affairs, and that's a National Guard unit, and then the rest of my support element for self-containment, as well as the missions that we have going outside the wire to all the provinces, it's Air Force, and the commanding officer, Colonel Andy Varis, is Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, and then I got a team of engineers, doctors, and then the rest of my maintenance team and my admin folks, and all that is Air Force. So it's only 90 people strong, as well as interagency folks. We also work hand in hand with the Department of State, Department of Agriculture, U.S. Corps of Engineers, USAID, and so that makes up another eight folks of interagency civilians that also assist us. So totally, we're only about 105 of us, and we cover down on the whole province of Zabul.
And so how do you
these
fit
folks
into that?
Have, just...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, no, I said, and together with this small team of 106, we cover down on the whole province and provide this governance for the region.
And so how do you specifically fit into that role of the team? Are you trying to organize and make sure the jobs are getting done?
Well, absolutely. You know, I bring to the table my combat experience of Iraq, and then just the years of experience being in the military to accomplish frontline missions, and it's just phenomenal to see some of these folks who have never done any kind of any of this missions outside the wire, and the bottom line is, if ever we're attacked, they have to become what we call they have to become shooters in that instance. So their training has taken them from being a doctor or being an engineer to being a troop on the front lines, and they have excelled in every aspect of their training, and I have just the utmost confidence in these folks that you know, that they got the ability to do these missions, and they've already proven themselves time and time again. Especially in times of conflict, that they can handle the mission.
Great. Well, Sergeant, if there's nothing else, I'll let you go. But if you got anything else, you know, I'm happy to listen.
Oh, no, that's it. I can't think of anything else.
Hey, just on a personal note, what's the weather like over there today?
Actually, it's only in where we're at in Kandahar, it was only about 107.
Huh?
87?
97.
Yeah. Oh, no, they said it went down to 97. I think they're lying there because I was sweating all day, so.
Well, I get it's a dry heat, right?
You know, it's a dry heat, but it's a high altitude. And when you're carrying all your gear, you feel it like you wouldn't believe.
Well, stay cool and, you know, have a nice ice cream or a cold drink.
I will. Hey, thanks a lot. I appreciate you giving us the time here.
Thanks very much for your time, sir. Stay safe.
Okay, we'll see you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.